Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Yes, it is, and really glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. Chris Williams is with me right along with Dr. Sherry Keffer. How you guys doing?
Fabulous.
Doing
how are you
great.
Two doing today? It's good to be with you two.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
We're in August, and we are in an August mood around here, and hope and pray that something we say today might change the way you look at life, and we'll start doing that by talking to somebody who's called in. So let's go to Carrie from Boise, Idaho, listens to KBXL. Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing okay. How can we help today?
You know, I just finished a year of cancer treatment, and I'm finding that life is different after cancer, and I have a lot of fears, and they can be irrational, and I'm just having a hard time enjoying life and not being so fearful all the time.
Hmm. Because do you think it's unpredictable, or you're afraid it's going to come back, or what is the fear? Is there any theme or central foundation?
It's more about being able to, I seem to be afraid that my husband's going to die before me someday, mm-hmm. and that I won't have a way of financially providing for myself. And he's not sick. He's perfectly healthy. He's not older than me. But it's kind of an irrational safety sort of thing, and financial, I guess.
Well, let me say this. I think that that's a rather realistic concern.
Okay.
Do you think it could be a realistic concern? And is it a realistic concern that might be minimized by him sitting down with you and saying, if I were to die tomorrow, here's what you would have, and here is what you would do, and here's how you would be provided for?
Okay. All right. Well, our family's had a really hard, we're Dave Ramsey candidates, so to speak. We've had a hard time financially, and he's gone through a lot of layoffs, and so there isn't much that he could sit down and really tell me. So I guess you're right. Those are realistic concerns.
Okay.
And then
so,
I guess more of the picture.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, more of the picture is that I have PTSD and bipolar 2, which would be manic depression, that's mm-hmm. more subtle. And so me providing for myself is difficult because it's better if I don't work. I do better as long as I take the medication and do what the doctor says and I don't have too much stress.
And how old is he?
I do fine. He is 46.
Okay. All right. We're going to give you some help. I think it'll help. Hope so. Right after this, we'll hear from Sherry and Chris, and I've got an idea that I think could help. Don't know. But you're listening to New Life Live, and if you need some help, there's a phone number, and people are waiting for you to call. Down in Dallas, Texas, they get up in the morning, and they get excited about literally transforming somebody's life because they connect them with their problem or connect the problem with the resource that can best help. Yep, that's what happens. So 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's that phone number. When we come back, we've got calls lined up here. We're going to go to the calls and hope that if you listen to us answer somebody's question, there'll be something right there for you. Wisdom from God's Word or a perspective. It's a godly perspective that could change everything after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we are back talking with Carrie. And Chris, I know you have some things to say to her. Carrie is recovering from cancer, but now is really struck with fear over the future and financial stability, all those kind of things, afraid that her husband's going to die. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, Carrie, I really want to respect that. I mean, you've been through a lot here. I mean, you know, you're struggling with PTSD, bipolar 2. Those are very serious mental illness conditions, and obviously the physical condition of cancer and making it through that. When we find ourselves up against things in life that we're powerless against and they're threatening, we go into this reactive and defended, and then we go down a level further to passive and aggressive. But ultimately, it leads us to a sense of victimhood. And victimhood here, I'm not talking about that we are the victim of something, because that's real. But it's a state of mind. It's called learned helplessness, in which fear now dominates our decisions. And I'm telling you, when fear makes financial decisions, it makes terrible decisions. And it also creates this scarcity that like we're just living day to day moment, just trying to barely get by. And so there really isn't a whole lot of future thinking, or where you do any future thinking, it's all doom and gloom. The first thing that I want you to look at is the way you are thinking, your belief system. The belief is that there is doom and gloom around the corner. And what I want you to be able to do is start transforming that belief into something that is way more positive and empowering and hopeful. But I want you to start here. The opposite of victim is not hero. The opposite of victim is creator or creativity. It's to make something. We make our way out of our victimhood. So I want you to have a vision for where you and your husband would want to be, and for where you'd want to be, and then you start making small decisions in that direction. Where the powerless transforms into empowerment is your belief system. You got to stop believing that you are powerless against the things of the world or to make something significant of life, and start believing something different, that God has created inside of you the ability to make life work.
And then the other thing is, no matter where you are financially, especially with him in his 40s, start now.
Yeah.
You may have to sell your home. You may have to rent. Whatever it is that needs to be done, you do it now, because you've got plenty of time, most likely plenty of time. And then the other thing with your fear of not being able to make a living because of what you're dealing with, you know, maybe if you guys did a search, it might take you a year, might take you two, but you might find something that you could do at home where you didn't have to go in and have a regular job, but it would be a source of income. Sherry, anything you want to add here before we go?
So, Carrie, I have a thought. What do you need?
Security.
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 Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And who provides that?
Well, I ask God to provide, but it has to translate into something tangible in the natural. But he says he will be our provider. So I go to church every week, and I talk to him every day about how I'm feeling and, you know, what my concerns are.
So what did you think about Chris's concept of learned helplessness? What did you think about that?
It made sense. I don't know what I thought about it.
And I think it might be hard for you to have to take a look at it, because I'm hearing and seeing what he's seeing. So your need is security, but you rely 100% on others for that. And that creates dependency.
Mm-hmm.
It creates dependency way more than God ever intended for you. In fact, don't take this personally. I just want to give you a concept. Sometimes when people are in learned helplessness, I talk about it with them like this. I say, it's like being an infant. You're in you're in your bassinet, and you've got your binky and your blankie and your bottle, and somebody has provided all that for you. But that's where you live. Completely dependent on somebody else to provide for you.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, do you get that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so do you see how you're in your own bassinet? And do you think,
yeah.
Okay, good for you. I love your giggle, because that tells me that there's some openness there.
Yeah.
As long as you're in that bassinet, my dear, you are not going to be at peace. You know why?
Right.
You know why?
Full of fear.
Yes, because the Lord did not intend you to live in a bassinet and to rely on other people to take care of you. He wants you to mature, to take some steps towards taking care of yourself. And
Did he intend for women to work and provide? Is that God's design?
Well, there certainly are examples. There are examples in Scripture, like Lydia, who was quite competent in the workplace. And well, there are other examples.
And if I can jump in, at the very beginning, God told both Adam and Eve, not just Adam and Eve, that they have dominion. And again, that what I would translate that is they have the ability to make something of God's creation. They were to tend to the garden. They were to name the animals. They were to... creativity and work is embedded in us. It's part of how we reflect God's image.
So when we don't do that, when we don't do our part, when we're in a bassinet, guess what happens to the people around us? Over time, they start feeling resentful. They may get a little cookie every time. They may get rewarded every time they lean over in the bassinet and they're taking care of you. It may meet their needs, but long term, it only hurts both of you. So God does.
I guess I thought because I have kids, I have a responsibility to be there for them. For example, I'm bringing my daughter home from driver's ed right now, and if I wasn't home, I couldn't be doing that.
So, but you know what?
Take her to driver's ed.
But you know what you're going to do if your world just revolves around them and you don't show them that you can be responsible for you too? Is you're going to have kids that grow up that feel like they can't take care of themselves.
Say, you're going to pass along the learned helplessness that your daughter can't figure out how to get to driver's ed on her own.
Yeah. It is. It's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem in your home.
And so I think one of the things that would really help you is, well, first of all, I'll send you Take Your Life Back. I think this is a great book for you. But I think you need some regular help. Maybe it's a wise woman, pastor's wife, Bible study leader, somebody that can give you a different perspective than your perspective on life, so that you're kind of challenging some of the fears and some of the thinking there. You know, I shared this before, but my pastor was saying that the definition of faith is living as if things you cannot see are going to happen. And the definition of fear is living as if things you cannot see are going to happen. It's the same definition for faith and fear, and one cancels out the other. And when we're stuck in fear, our faith cannot grow. And sometimes people just rely on faith and no action. But when we have somebody that's a mentor, a counselor, a leader in our lives, they give us the right balance and direction. And I'm going to hope and pray that you can do this. But I'll send you Take Your Life Back, because it will help you no longer react to the fear, but to respond to the reality that's there. And I'll get that. And anybody else, you can find it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go to Ponchi. Well, you're going to tell me how to pronounce that. St. Augustine, Florida. How do you pronounce your name?
Ponchi.
Oh, okay. Hi. How you doing? Welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're with us today. How can we help you? Good. How can we help you today?
Well, I just have a question about life after drugs, and how do you cope with the things of just everyday life if you've been on drugs for almost 20-something years plus, and you just all of a sudden invited God in and asked God to change your life, and now you don't know how to deal with day-to-day things, even though it's been almost 3 years for me. I've been saved for two. I've been clean and sober for three in August. Mm-hmm. It's just now I just want to know how to live and deal with everyday life, because I never went through counseling. And I don't go to AA. I don't go to none of that. I just trust in God for it, but I've been in some difficult situations where I'm about to leave my husband. And
but listen, listen to me. Not doing those things is why you're having the problems that you're having. Because you need a program, a path, a process to grow and mature. When you stop doing drugs, that's a miracle, don't you think?
Yes, sir.
Now, here's the thing. The other miracle didn't happen. And that is that instantly you had character, maturity, wisdom, all the things that other people develop who aren't doing drugs. But you were able, you know, to, whenever there was a challenge, you could use the drug, you could find relief or some kind of mood alteration. So the program like AA or any addiction recovery program, 12-step, is a path to grow in character, maturity, and wisdom. And that's what I want to see you get involved with. The very thing that you say that you're not doing. When we rely on the Lord, we go after the things that the Lord provides for us to grow in. Chris, you have a thought about this? I mean, you're great on addiction.
Yeah, I say this all the time. It's repeating what you're saying, but the 12 steps don't keep anyone sober. Not using or drinking keep people sober. The miracle of the 12 steps teaches people how to live sober. And so embedded in the process itself is a way in which you can learn how to reconcile broken relationship, learn to deal with difficult emotions, take ownership for your life, continue to grow in dependency of God and grow in your faith, help other people out. There's so many different things here that will help you. And when you do that with other people, and that's how we grow up. That's how we mature. We mature in relationship. We will not mature in isolation. And so being around other people on a similar journey is really beneficial, and I would say essential. And I'm so glad that you called, Fanshe, today, because this is a message for more people than just you and people
That's right.
who are resisting the recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, well, I can get sober another way. Well, you may be able to, and that's fantastic, and please do that. But you need to learn to live life. One of the definitions of
Can I ask you something? I don't mean to cut you off.
No, yeah, go for it. Go for it.
I like you owning your voice. I like you owning your voice, girl.
Go
That's
for
great.
It.
Along with the journey with God, and I love him because he's the only one that changed my life.
Mm.
Now my husband, it's another different story. I was in an abusive relationship. He broke my ankle. He messed up my mouth. But yet still, he stayed through everything. Okay. Now it's at the point we got married. And now I'm starting to think, oh, my God, what did I do? Because we've been together 14, but we've been married 2 years in August. Now, this is the thing. It's where I've changed, but he didn't change. He's still with the drinking.
Yeah.
He never did drugs, but he's still with the drinking, with the abusive, the emotional, the mental, to the point where I'm having to pawn everything.
Well, I hate to do this, but we...
But
Fanshe, I've got to jump in. Yeah. We're going to head to a break.
Yep. We'll be with you right after this. Glad you're calling. We want to help.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, Chris, I think you were finishing there with Fanshe. What else do you want to share with her about recovery and getting involved in a process?
Yeah.
It's just, like I was saying, my husband is literally still abusing me. After everything I went through, he's still treating me like I'm a drug addict. And it's become where he pushed me on the floor the other night. And I don't understand, should I stay or should I leave?
Well, right now, you need to get safe. And so I'm not saying divorce right now, but I am saying you need to leave. If you are in physical danger, you've got to get out of that situation. And if he continues drinking, his behavior is out of control. This behavior has been there throughout your entire marriage. He needs to know that you're serious. And that, and I think it's a double miracle that you've been that you've remained sober and in an abusive relationship. And so, part of your sobriety and part of your journey right now is getting out of the abuse. It is critically important right now.
So that might be through getting to talking to someone at a domestic violence shelter. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be...
I've done that. They don't have any room for me. So, of course, I'm disabled. I'm not working. So now what choice to have?
Do you have family around?
Yes, but my family is not...
Yeah.
Just put it like this. That's a different story.
Yeah. Uh-huh. My fear is that it's a different story, but it's same process.
Okay, so right. you feel, or it feels like you're really stuck in some realities of your life, and it sounds like to me you need some problem solvers mm-hmm. in your life. And so
exactly.
one of the things you might think about doing is you go to your pastor or pastor's wife and you say, I need some help solving problem. I'm not asking the church for a handout or something like that. I'm asking for some wisdom here. You know, here we are. Here's what we've done. Here's my situation. I can't support myself. Things like that. And see if that person you go to has a solution or they know somebody to go to. You need somebody to come along and help you solve the problem. You don't have anybody like that around you right now. And so that would be my goal for you or desire for you is get the problem solver. Maybe they would say, hey, you know what? Cynthia has a room or they're looking to help somebody. But if you never present the problem, then they're not going to be able to help you with it. Jeremiah 6:14, Ken Taylor, when he did that translation or the Living Bible, he said, you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. And really what he's saying is you got to bring things to out in the open if you want people to respond and help you. So that would be my encouragement to you. Anything you want to add to this, either Chris or Sherry?
I just, you know, I think it's taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I hear a lot of helplessness, kind of like the caller we just spoke to before you, right? That learned helpless position. I think Steve just hit the nail on the head and Chris did too. You got to do it in community. And you know, this idea of your family not being there, you've kind of bought into the isolation as the only way that it feels like to stay safe, but it's really not helping you heal. And it's just keeping you in a situation where you're tolerating harm. And so ask for help. Get out.
You know. Yeah. I was just talking to someone who was telling me about a pastor in a large situation. And they presented something to the pastor that they were deeply concerned about. And the pastor's answer was, why should I care about that? Now, if that's a response you were to get, you're going to the wrong church. And that's the wrong pastor. There are churches that are full of compassion and love, and they may not be able to help you. They may not have a resource, but they do anything to try to find somebody who could come alongside and help you.
Yeah, and there may be a domestic violence shelter that's two cities over, right, that might be able to have you and house you, but we might just know about the one, right?
Yeah.
And so getting some helpers to help you resource is really critical.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you about a resource that we have here in August, a thank you resource, and it's called Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissism. Now, if you're living or working with somebody that has a narcissistic personality disorder, it's very confusing. And if you're in a relationship with somebody with that disorder, well, you may often feel put down, dismissed, or ashamed of your own needs. And you may even wonder if you've lost your sanity at times. Well, that's why Patricia Kuhlman, myself, we put this great book together. She's a skilled New Life Network counselor, and it's called Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissism. And any amount that you give, I'll send you this book. Any gift, any amount, you call us right now and say, okay, I'm not going to let you guys hang out there in August and not get support. I'll send you the book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissism. It is a good one. Patricia is great. She's been through this. I really believe that you'll benefit from this book. Well, I was going to click on the next call, but we'll just wait till after the break.
And I was going to say, any resemblances in the book, to me, are purely coincidental.
Yes, that's right. And I could have titled it Understanding and Loving Me. But anyway, you know, everybody has some narcissism, mm-hmm. and some of that can really be healthy and kind of move you along and motivate you. But a lot of it isn't. And when it's not, boy, it's a tough thing to see if you don't understand it. One of the things we talk about in the book is that every narcissist has a very, very deep, deep wound yeah. down in there. And all of this is compensating for that deep wound. We don't want that. You can help them. This book, it's just our way of saying thanks for a gift of any amount. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize. Yeah.
We're going
to
go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hope you don't mind. We're going to take a couple of minutes here to talk to you about the financial situation here at the beginning of August. Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. Larry, talk to us. What's going on?
Hi. Well, it's a new month, and we want to make it a good month. And the good month means we can have the support that we need to keep doing what we're doing to help people find hope and healing, to help people see God's redemption. This ministry is amazing. I look at the call screen board and I see the problems and the pain that's out there, and without knowing who God is and how he works, it would be totally depressing. But it's not, because I know those folks are going to get help and they're going to have a turnaround in their lives. And that's why we seek support. Mm-hmm. And that's why we seek especially giving for Club New Life. Club New Life is automated giving through your credit card or through an automatic deduction from your checking or savings account, $30 a month or more. And as it grows, we can lean less on having to come to the microphone and seek support and say, we're hurting, we need help. We want this thing to be a blessing to more people than we could ever imagine. And it takes you sharing a little bit of your blessings with us as we share the blessings of God's grace with others. Yep. So and I want to tell a quick story about a sacrificial gift. This person is not a Club New Life member. She gives $5 a month, every month, sacrificially. She's being evicted from her home, and she called us. Her credit card was declined because, you know, the expiration dates and things happen. So we called to check on her. And she called us to respond to the request for an update. And she was concerned about her $5 gift not getting to us.
Wow.
And shared she was being evicted. Wow. But that $5 was important that New Life got it.
Wow.
And so that just touches me. You know, we seek gifts of all size. We don't, you know, of course we love larger gifts because it means a little less pressure off the finances. But the smaller gifts are so important. People are given sacrificially, and God doesn't judge the amount. He judges the heart of the giver.
Please help us. Help us, help us. Gift of any amount, understanding and loving a person with narcissism. For that $30 a month Club New Life, we send you 8 books in the Art of Wellness series, access to our video library, only way you can have access to it, and it's just our way of saying thank you.
Be one of the 6. We need 6 people every day to sign up for Club New Life.
Yeah.
Just call and say, I want to be one of the 6, and we'll have Steve call you and thank you for giving.
We sure will. All right, let's go to Catherine, Orlando, Florida. WTLN is the station. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi. I thank you so much for taking my call. I'm super. I have a burden. I have a like. I'm really sad because my husband is an alcoholic, and I've been in Al-Anon for probably a good 6 months, maybe a little more than that. And my question to you is, how do I confront my husband? I know that it's time to confront him with his alcoholism, and I just want to know how best to go about it.
How have your conversations about the problem gone with him? Before we deal with a confrontation, we always like to have a conversation. How's that gone?
Okay. I would say pretty, I don't know, I don't want to say typical, but my conversations have been pretty casual with him as far as when he, you know, talks to me about his drinking, he's very, you know, casual about it, very relaxed about it, and he'll say things like, oh, you know, you know, I've had one drink in me or 2 drinks in me, and I drove, and it was, you know, I'm fine, and it's no big deal. You know, examples like that. I don't know. I would say, you know, I mean, he's a very quiet alcoholic, if you want to put it that way. I mean, he does it at home, so he usually is just, you know, at late at night, like at around, you know, 8 o'clock it starts, I'd say, and then he'll just keep drinking.
So are you saying you've never really talked to him about it or gone beyond him just saying, I don't really have much of a problem, or what?
Not in great detail. I haven't. I mean, I have said to him a couple of times throughout the course of our marriage, you know, I teased him once. I'm like, hey, man, I don't want you to get a beer belly. What's the deal? You know?
Okay.
And
all right. So let me ask you this real quick. Let me ask you this real quick. Why do you think he has a problem? What's the evidence that he has a drinking problem?
I see it. Okay. The evidence is that he, in my opinion, well, from what I see, is that he drinks till he gets a buzz. He wants to get a buzz. That's like his goal, because he said it to me actually last week, as a matter of fact. He had said, you know.
Okay, but give me something that is a problem, whether he's buzzed or not. So what's something that is observable that is destructive as a result of his drinking?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, like, for example, one time we were on his friend's boat, and he spilled beer all over the boat. And like,
he was out of control.
Pardon?
He was out of control?
Yeah, like, he wasn't out of control, but, like, I could see, like, he was, like, not to the point of staggering, but he was just not, you know, he was already losing his, you know,
so Catherine,
balance, perhaps, or something like
Catherine,
that.
This is Chris. I'm going to jump in here. So I want to help you out as quickly as I can here. First off, you're participating in his problem. And addiction comes with denial, minimization, rationalization, justification. Before you can even get a word out about what he's doing, you're already explaining his argument for him. And so you are agreeing with his drinking. So what Steve is trying to get to is, like, we don't hear a problem here. But you did say one thing at the very beginning, and that was that you're sad.
Very.
There it is. That's your power. You just landed on it right there. That place in your heart, that word very came from, is the place that he needs to hear from you. Is that you're losing your husband here. You're losing connection. You're losing building a life together. And it is scary. And it is sad. And what he doesn't need to hear about is why his drinking may or may not be a problem to him. That's not what he needs to hear. He needs to hear that his drinking is a definitive problem for you and the marriage. That's mm-hmm. how you confront him. And it needs.
So I simply need to say to him that his drinking is a definitive problem between he and I.
Yes, and here is how it is impacting me. And I want him to hear that. I want you to hear that. I want you to connect with the fact of here's what it's doing to me.
Okay. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay.
So what is it doing to you? Because Chris gave... what is it doing?
It's bringing me to a place of fear.
Okay.
Fear that I'm going to lose him, that he's going to drink and drive, or, you know, any of those kind of things. That he's not dealing with the root cause of his alcoholism in the first place, in my opinion.
See, but you just switched.
I don't believe he ever dealt with the death of his mother.
I totally get it. But did you see how you just switched? You switched into telling him about his problem and what he's avoiding. What Chris is inviting you into is to go deep inside of you. And to say, ask yourself a question. Where does it hurt? Where does it hurt inside? What's hurting?
It just hurts all over. It hurts my heart. It's definitely a struggle for me. It hurts my, I don't know, like, I feel like I've made such a crucial change in my life, and, you know, I feel still very newly married, and I feel like I made a mistake by marrying him.
So I know. So let me jump in. Let me jump in, because this is a lot of pain. So you're going to need help. I want you to get in some counseling as well. But there's four components. The first one is you tell him what you've observed in him. His drinking, the problem of his drinking, how it's impacted you, what you want to see happen, and then what you want him to do.
Yep, and then you tell him that you are going to Al-Anon, and you would love to accompany him to his first AA meeting, not a little small thing, but a speaker meeting where you hear somebody else talk about what they've been through. And you tell him, it's time. We've waited long enough. It's tearing us apart. It's tearing me apart.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. You know, we have a featured product here, 7 Ways to Choose Healing. We have a special for that. You can just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 7 practical steps toward healing and getting over those hidden roadblocks that are necessary for healing. I think you'll really like it. It's a wonderful little book. And just call us and order it right there from our distribution center there in Dallas, Texas. All right, our final caller is going to be Diane. By the way, I'm going to send Catherine a Take Your Life Back and a Life Recovery Bible, one for her, one for him. Now, I think what we'll do is we'll go to, we'll go over here to Diane. Let's talk to Diane and see what's going on with her. Diane, Ontario, California, how's it going? What's going on with you?
Oh, it's going a little rough, but I'm okay, I guess.
All right. What's happening?
We have a 21-year-old son who lives at home.
Okay.
And started with opioids and then stopped and then has started all along, has been smoking marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Got a DUI for a controlled substance. And it's just escalated. And we have finally come, I believe my husband and I both, certainly I have, to the realization that we are part of the problem. And we need to make a change in our life for ourselves, our own sanity.
Okay.
And we're both totally exhausted. And we're older parents. We're both 62.
Okay, and, so is he working?
He is working, but Mom is driving him to and from work every day.
Oh, okay. Wow, okay. So what's the question for us?
The question is, how do we confront him? I guess that's not the right term either. How do we speak to him, telling him we are going to be making changes within ourselves? We know that we both need to be educated and to help learn what we have done to be a dependent or codependent or all those terms I've just started reading about. I just got your book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Alcohol and Drug Addiction. But I'm not quite sure how we broach it all so that it is most productive.
Well, you might want to start with, we love you and we care about you, and that's why we've had you here, and that's why I've been driving you to work. But, you know, after all this time, we don't see you getting better. We see you continuing to use and things like that. I can't drive you to work anymore. So within two weeks, you're going to have to find another ride, a carpool, the bus schedule, whatever. You're going to or walk or get a scooter or something. But I can't do it anymore. And then
I'm sorry to interrupt you with that. Is he has a truck, but we took it away. So you can't drive it.
Well, that's okay.
The police department has not filed the formal charges, and they have up to a year to do it. Something is weird.
Yeah.
So,
okay. But listen,
that doesn't
change anything, though. I mean, okay. You don't have to. If he's using, you don't have to let him have access to the truck. You know, you can still restrict that, or you can open that up. But I think it's a discussion with him, and it's give him some time to adjust to it. It's not just, you know, you're out on your own or whatever, and you set the expectation. If you want him out of the house, you give him time to find another place to live. If you want him to take himself to work, you give him time to figure out how to do that. Anything else you guys want to add to that? She really is. It's her place. It's their place. They've been patient. I think them making these changes is going to force him to get better.
Yeah. Well, Diane, awesome job on waking up to your problem. Mm-hmm. And your son has a life-threatening condition.
Yeah.
I want you to hear that as crystal clearly as you possibly can. And you will not in any shape or form participate in his life-threatening condition. I want you to say that as clearly as possible to him. And that things will change, because though you cannot control him, and you can't, you're not the cure for him either, but you are going to get the help that you need to get your life back and get it back on track, but also to set boundaries so you are no longer enabling him to continue in his addiction. And the line that I tell people is letting them know and backing it up with very tangible behavior and actions is, I will do anything if it leads directly to recovery. I mean directly.
So you mean like taking him to
a treatment center. Yes.
A recovery group, an outpatient, an inpatient,
yes,
an addiction,
yes,
center, that I will take you there, I will transport you.
But I will not do anything that keeps you in your addiction, including taking you to a job where you can get money and use more. Because there's nothing that's going to happen in his life that's going to be positive if he doesn't find recovery.
Yep. I think that's very good. I think it's the only true hope that he has. And some of you parents, you're listening to this, and I would just ask you to ask yourself, the things that I've been doing for this child that have caused no change, am I doing them because I believe that they're helpful, like paying for everything or free rent, taking them to work? Am I doing them because I think they're helpful, or am I doing them because I feel guilty, or they make me feel better? So many people stop the enabling process when they finally realize, I'm doing this not for them, I'm doing it for me. And that's when the lights start to come on. We want to help you have a light or two come on. And, you know, sometimes you just exist and exist, and then one day it's time. Maybe God is having you listen to the program right now because it's time. It's time for you to stop wanting something different to happen just by doing the same old stuff. And we want to help you find stuff to do that's helpful, not hurtful. One of the great proverbs is, when you wink at wrong, you cause trouble, but an open rebuke can bring lasting peace. Let's quit pushing it under the rug. Let's quit acting like things are just magically, wonderfully going to get better, and let's do something. Let's do something. And that something isn't just waiting for God to do what God is waiting for you to do. You know, some of you live with somebody that's a sex addict or is unfaithful. Intimate Deception is a book that Dr. Sherry Keffer has written, and if you order that book and you read it, you're going to see the whole picture from a different perspective. But you never see it any differently if you don't ever be willing to read a book, and that's a good one. Maybe you feel stuck in your past, controlled by other people in the present. Take Your Life Back is a book that'll change your perspective on that. We have counselors all over this country that want to help you. We have intensive experiences on weekends that tend to change everything. But you have to come, and you won't come unless you call us. And the phone number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's it. It's also the number to support us. When you do, for a gift of any amount, I'll send you this book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissism. I don't know of any condition, any personality disorder, that's been talked about more in the media over the past couple of years than that one. But boy, I'll tell you, if you live with it, it's not something to talk about. It's something that's painful. It's hurtful. It's confusing. But this will give you help understanding and loving a person with narcissism. It's our way of saying thank you for supporting New Life, a gift of any amount. $30, you get the whole library and the video library too. Call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you, and we can if you'll let us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.